Let's get started, I guess, so we can get through all this.
Who is that? Who
Here we
is
go.
that? Sam.
Welcome to the Rebel Alliance briefing room. Please visit our website, https://rabr.kailejohansen.us. There you can find links to send us feedback, connect to us on social media, or instructions on how to load the podcast onto your device. I'm Kyle John Johansson. This is Andrew Scott Sutz.
Me.
And Rick Ross Bosley. It's time to talk Star Wars.
Star Wars. Yeah, people. So today we're reviewing The Acolyte, the brand new series.
Oh my God.
We've got
I just saw your parentheses, Kyle.
What? Well, that's what they all say, isn't it?
He, him.
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
Rick says Padawan.
Well, you know, you can do whatever you want, right? Anyway,
I don't know how to do that. So.
Don't worry about it. Episode one was called Lost / Found. So there's a duality going on there. Somebody's lost,
what's
somebody's
that?
Found. I don't know. We'll see.
Spoiler.
So yeah, there was a lot of action in this one, and you know, they did a lot of hype before, you know, all the two or three different trailers and all kinds of stuff to get this thing going. And apparently, it's one of the highest rated shows. For the first episode of the Star Wars series that they've had out so far.
Sweet.
It's pretty good. I was like, wow.
Yeah, it's not bad. So
I had ideas, and then I was going to text you, and then I said I watch episode two.
Yeah, that's almost better. Episode two. All right, I'm going to rearrange
God,
here for
it?
Unboxing.
What is it? I'm so excited.
I can't see.
I just
my
can't
heart.
Hide it.
Stop that. Now we have a special treat. It's unboxings.
I thought it was me.
So, there's another box that's got the warning label on it.
Uh-oh.
Yay. So it's got Funko written right on it too. So
careful,
it comes that way from Funko.
Oh
no,
my
it says
God.
Carton has been sealed with pilfer-proof tape, meaning someone can't open it up and do something to it before you do.
Until they open it,
until they open it again and retape it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. I'm getting it open. Here's the eyeballs. One of the eyeballs. What do you think it is?
If I get more bags, will you retape it?
No.
Oh, okay.
What do you think it is?
That's fine.
Boom. You see it? It's probably, just the camera here.
It's there. I can't see it.
Oh, my God.
It's like something else I can't see.
Whoa.
He ain't even got glasses on. Me neither.
That's a little bit better in the video.
It like attacked me, and then
I don't want to hear about your penis. All right. Shh. So Padme Amidala, this is one of hers. She's wearing a different outfit where she's wearing like her her workout gear or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that is, but she's wearing something. And we got a. Point out the number is 701.
Wow.
Side
how many?
View. We don't know. Do you know how many? I don't know.
I don't know.
Here's the other side.
Ooh.
701. It's got some gray and purple going on there. Yep. Here's the back. This one says Episode 1 Phantom Menace. So this is part of the Phantom Menace collection.
Ah.
So it's not a Clone Wars or something like that. This is one of the outfits she wore there, which I don't remember exactly when she wore this outfit, but look, and there's the top again. Whoa.
She's falling. She's upside down.
Oh.
Okay. I'm going to go rather in space.
I don't know if anybody can see that, but that's the barcode to get to our website. You can scan that there, right there. Plenty of unboxings in our episodes there. Ah! Okay.
I'm who is that? Here. Shine on!
No, I turned that part off. Oh, it's falling. No falling allowed. Okay. So today, again, we're reviewing the Star Wars Acolyte Season 1, Episode 1, Lost and Found. And we just did an unboxing of Padme Amala. Yay, that was a good one. We've got a director for, I believe, the entire series of the Acolyte is Leslie Headland. There's writers, Jason Maliff. There's some weird names here. McAfillus and Charmaine DeGreet. And I think at least these two episodes, those were the writers. We have an editor of Micah Leskin, I think. And the music was scored by Michael Abels. Which we're used to hearing, Kevin Kinner and his clan. Do most of that, but this is a new guy they got, and he repeats a lot of the standard stuff. He just kind of does it a little differently. It's got tones of the Williams music, big orchestra, but it's a piano, electric piano kind of sound or something like that.
I thought the intro was pretty cool. It was a little dark.
Yeah, a little dark. So let's go through the cast. We've got a somewhat larger cast than we're used to at the last couple shows. So we've got May, which is our, main character, played by Amandala Steinberg. Master Soul, played by Lee Jean-Jay, which we haven't really talked about, but he's the... I don't know if you ever saw that one show where it was on Netflix where they played this game for money and they had to do these certain things, and if they didn't do them right, they got killed.
The Korean movie.
Yeah, that was an awesome movie, and there's supposed to be a season 2 and a season 3 coming out.
Yeah.
Anyway, he was the main character in that show too. I didn't think I was going to like it, but it just seemed to get better and better as it went along. Then we've got our new breakout star, Yord Fandar, played by Charlie Barnett. Jackie Lyon, played by Daphne Keene. That's the one that had the little weird spiky horns on the sides. Oops. Mother Anicia is played by Jodie Turner Smith. I think we see her briefly in the episode as the mother of maybe May, I think. Anyway, Vernestra Rowe is played by Rebecca Henderson. She's the green character, Vernesta. Indira is played by Carrie Ann Moss. I don't think we ever hear Indira's last name because, they just go by Master Indira or whatever. Philic is played by Anthony Abram. I think Philic is the little slimy guy that's in the apothecary shop. There's Tassie Loa, played by Thara Schoen. I'm not sure who Tassie is. I haven't placed it fully in the episode yet. There's a couple younglings that were in that first one of those first scenes with Master Soul. They were played by Daniel Xin Yao Waterman. Got American and Chinese names all mixed into there, or Korean, whatever it is. Sienna Kervoa and Jeremiah Evans. When we go to that I think it's the other planet, or not the other planet. There's a in prison when they're in the on the ship. There's a restrained convict, and his name is Dan Mylan. He might be the one that had the weird thing on his face.
Yeah.
And another convict was Thomas Combs. And then we had the actor, the little actresses that played Little May and Little Osha. I think is how they say her name, Osha. And they were played by twins, of course, Leah Bradley and Lauren Bradley. We don't know which one's which because they're twins.
So the bigger version is played by one person. She's doing dual roles.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe. The twins look so much like her. I don't know. Maybe they let them, they gave them some acceleration growth pills.
Oh, shut up. Put them back to tank.
Exactly.
They went through the
tape. You want to know what I thought
during the first and part, a little bit of the second episode? She was doing it in her dreams by the Force.
Yeah, I thought about that too. I thought she was she was either dreaming it or she was like had multiple personalities. That's what I thought. The first, at least the first part of the first episode, I kind of, sorry to say, but I kind of had figured out it was a twin. Because they did a few things that were a little different. But anyway, we're getting ahead of ourselves here.
Sorry, I just wanted to put that
No, it's okay. Put it out there. The Acolyte Season 1, Episode 1, Lost/Found, first aired on June 4th. It was 40 minutes long. This was the longer of the two episodes. And again, the timeline was 132 before the Battle of Yavin. And I wanted to put that in perspective, maybe, if I can pull it up fast enough. No, I can't. Yes, I can. Here we go. I got it over here. I'm going to share my screen. Now let's just do the application. Let's try that. Share with sound. Okay, so this is our website. You see it? I'm going to click on Star Wars Timeline. And we're going to talk about this for a minute. So, recently, in the last year or so, Disney has added some stuff to the timeline. They've added Dawn of the Jedi, the Old Republic. The High Republic was always there, but the Old Republic and the Dawn of Jedi are new. And then at the back end, they added the New Jedi Order, which is after the last Skywalker series. So I wanted to kind of place this. So the Acolyte is way here in the High Republic. And we've got, episode 1, 2, and 3, Clone Wars, all that stuff way over here during Fall of the Jedi is what they're calling it. And then Age of the Rebellion, Reign of the Empires, our first movies that came out, Star Wars, New Hope, Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi. Way up here is in the High Republic era is where the Acolyte starts. And it says here 82. I need to fix that since we know that it's 132. I wonder if it might progress into 82. I don't know. We'll have to see, I guess. But it's way up here. The only one that show is this Young Jedi Adventures, which is mostly made for kids. So kind of places where we're at.
Going back and doing some stuff older later.
Possibly. The only there's several characters we know from the series that actually appear at this timeline. Obviously, there's Yoda. There could be Chewbacca could be old enough. He's like, 200 years old or something is what he tells Han Solo. There's the lady in the new series with the weird goggles, whatever her name was.
The Seer.
She, she did the bar. She ran the bar.
See her.
She was like really old too. She'd been managing the bar for 1,000 years, is what they said. So we know a few people have been or could show up. I don't think most of them will. I think the only one we'll actually ever see is maybe Yoda.
She did Yoda.
Yeah, sure.
Well, maybe we'll see a Yoda Chewie.
Maybe.
Well, I don't know if that was him running through the thing in the second episode.
No, it wasn't. His name is Kalanick. You didn't pay attention to the name when they were talking about him? Kalanick.
He's a different Wookiee.
He isolates himself in the jungle. Alright, so what that means, guys, is it's time to grab your favorite beverage, pull up a chair, and join us in the Rebel Alliance briefing room, where we're going to discuss everything in detail. By
Prime.
Prime? No. Not at all. So, we had an opening crawl on this episode. And it says at the beginning, it says 100 years before the rise of the Empire, it's a time of peace. What do they do during peace? There's nothing to do. The Jedi Order and the Galactic Republic have prospered for centuries without war. But the dark corners of the galaxy, a powerful few learn to use the Force in secret. One of them, a lone assassin, risks discovery to seek revenge. Then we get the... And then they start the episode. So the episode starts out with May. She's got a veil kind of outfit on. And she's entering a settlement on a planet called Eudea. She speaks to a peddler who tells her the whereabouts of a Jedi in return for some coins. I think there's 2 coins she gave the person. May enters a cantina full of beings of various species. She walks up to a cloaked Jedi Master Indira, telling her that they have unfinished business. In the presence of other customers, she dares Indira to attack her with all her strength, which is weird because you'll see later she repeats the same kind of phrasing for someone else, which I'm not really sure what that really means or if it's just a a routine kind of thing or what, but it's just weird. Yeah. Several individuals respond with laughter and doubt, I guess, until Indira raises her hand and says, stop. Indira is unwilling to fight May, but the younger woman is belligerent. When Indira responds that the Jedi do not attack the innocent, May disagrees and assaults several customers, starting a brawl. She kicks the chair out of one guy to start with. That was kind of funny. Laying flat on the ground. One of the alien customers tries to draw a blaster out of his holster, but May slams the table into his path. Indira grabs May's hand from behind, prompting May to fight her instead. Indira dodges May's blows, prompting May to draw a dagger. Ooh, a weapon. Now it's getting serious. May attempts to stab Indira with the dagger. Here. Oh, here we go. But the Jedi uses her height and combat skills to fend off May's attack. She just knows when to put her hand up and tell her to stop. I always think that's funny. Stop! Oh! Okay, I'll stop. I'm sorry.
There's a few Matrix nods to that, too, though.
Yeah, it was. Quite a few. Blah, 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 blah. May takes a female... May does a bunch of skills and stuff, and she, jumps up another level with, the Force and her climbing abilities, and she takes another female hostage that's running by. She throws her downstairs to distract Indira, but Indira uses the Force to stop the patron from hitting the ground. you know, at least softly. She drops. Doom.
She levitates her.
That didn't hurt that much. Thank you.
Oops.
Endura calls on a comlink and says, hey, I have a force user here that's unsanctioned. Yep. And Endura pursues May through the upstairs area where the fight resumes with knives and stuff. Shoom, shoom, shoom. They're throwing each other around with the force. Her combat and uses her superior combat skills to fight off Bay's knife attacks. Cornering her against the wall, and a third round, Endura grabs her knife and disarms her. Endura rips off May's mask and recognizes her as someone she knows. Oh, who is it? What are you? She says, you.
Why are you
here? She demands to know what May is doing and prompts May to say that she has come here to kill her.
Oh, no.
Really? Why is she fighting her if she doesn't want to kill? I don't get it. May uses the force to hurl Endura against a wooden wall. She then hurls a pair of blades at Endura, who uses her lightsaber to cut and scatter them. May draws her final dagger, but Endura advances, warning her that this is a fight she cannot win. You cannot win against a Jedi. May counters that the Jedi counters that a Jedi does not pull their weapon, being the lightsaber, unless she is going to kill someone. May secretly pulls out another dagger behind her back. Oh, where'd that come from? She distracts Endura by hurling a dagger at the alien barkeep, which is a dirty trick, and prompts Endura to use the force to stop the blade midair. But while she's distracted, May stabs her in the chest. May watches as the Jedi Master succumbs to the injuries and walks away. She basically falls to the ground and just lays down dead.
So, disappointed. So why did she disappear and her clothes just stay there?
Because she's not fully dead yet. And you only do that because you're one with you know the secrets. Anyway, she approaches the alien barkeep and retrieves her dagger. She considers killing him, but changes her mind after seeing that his child whimpering and scared next to him. Poor little kids crying and everything. Oh, don't hurt us. Don't kill my daddy. He's my only daddy I got. And, you know, kind of what Scott was saying, I think Yoda was the first one to do that. Or no, it was what we saw was Obi-Wan Kenobi, but Yoda, I think, in the timeline was the first one to do it. No? Maybe not. Who was the first?
Yoda died after Obi-Wan.
Oh, it was Qui-Gon. Qui-Gon did it. Yeah, Qui-Gon was the first one. Anyway, so going elsewhere in space, Minik Osha Anase wakes up in her cabin and chats with her droid Pip. Shortly later, a red alarm rings, summoning them for work. In the corridor, she chats with another Minik named Filik. Filik. Oh, so that's the weird guy that was up there with her. Okay. Who tells Osha that she missed out on a trip to Nar Shadda the night before. Osha says she does not, what she does in her free time is none of his business.
Yeah.
I'm a loner and I like it. When Osha asked about what emergencies they're responding to, Filik explains that the shield generator needs repairs. They walk past two Nematodons when Osha says that the Trade Federation doesn't use shields. Filik suggests that's why it needs to be repaired.
Yeah.
What? The Trade Federation doesn't use shields, but we're fixing a shield? That's weird. The 2 minutes exit the airlock and head to the shield generator. The impatient nematodin Captain Blex regards the Minix as disposable, prompting another officer to respond to their cargo is that their cargo is not. Osha reminds the nematode officers that they can hear them over the comms. Hello, we're here. We can hear you talking bad about us. Hello, we're people too. Osha quips that Felix is disposable, but she is not. You know, and Felix finds that the emitter duct is not conducting the field projection. Osha proceeds to weld it back together with the help of the pip droid. She takes the head off of it or something and uses some sort of arc welder on that built into the droid.
It's a multi-tool.
Felix suddenly reports that the pressure gauge is spiking. Then it explodes. Osha is about to attend the leaking gauge, but is haunted by her childhood memories and her and May being separated from her parents during a calamity.
Stares into the fire.
Which is weird, because we're in space. Rick knows, and Scott knows, that you can't have fire in space because there's no oxygen. So how does that work? Number one. And there was a lot of flack about that on the internet. Everybody complained about it, so I had to bring it up. But how do you have fire? And it looks like a campfire. It's flickering and all kinds of stuff, like it's burning wood.
It's just, the oxygen is escaping. That's what it is. It's like Old Faithful.
Yeah, I don't believe it.
I don't know. So the big question is, what's the cargo?
Yeah, we don't know what the cargo is, for sure. And I'm not sure if it really even matters right now, because we're just doing backstory, right?
True.
So I don't know. Maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe it does. Felix reminds her to stop daydreaming, and she returns to work. Osha extinguishes the fire just as a Jedi starship circles the Trade Federation starship. Felix asks Osha what are those? Ask Osha if those are friends. Oh. She thinks that the Jedi are her friends. Huh. Then we switch around and see that Jedi Knight Yord Fandar and his Padawan Tashi Loa. So that's where the Tashi Loa comes in. The Padawan enters the bridge. Yeah. They tell the Nematodin captain that they are looking for a former Jedi named Osha Anishea. What? That's our repair girl. Who is that? Another officer responds that they're a cargo ship and don't carry passengers. What are you talking about? We don't have any passengers. Fandar says that the Jedi have information that Osha is working as a Minic, who does freelance outer ship repair. The officer denies hiring Minix because it's against regulations, basically. They're only supposed to use droids, apparently. But Fandar raises his hand and gestures to the insulate that he is preparing to use a mind trick. And the female nematode officer responds that Osha is in bunk 23 on a sublevel of the ship. He says, I'm gonna read your mind.
No, don't do that. I'll tell you right away.
The two Jedi head downstairs to find Osha, and Osha recognizes Fandar, you know, because he's popular on the internet, that's why. And is pleased to learn that he has passed the Jedi trials to become a Jedi Knight.
Ooh.
Fandar remarks that Osha has chosen to settle in the Corp sector, which is far from Coruscant, as far as you can get, apparently, is what he said. When he asks Osha about the purpose of the visit, he taps his lightsaber. Partly because she's reaching for something and he doesn't know what it is, and it's that droid she's got her stashed in her little side pocket there. After the Padawan Loa enters the bunk, Fandar advises Osha to take a seat. Loa asks Osha how she has been, how long she's been a Minic. Osha says that since she left the Jedi Order 6 years ago, she's been a Minic, and Loa types her answers into a data pad. Oh, this is official. Osha says that she left the Jedi Order, but found that her skills weren't transferable and took up a job, this job, because she needed a paycheck. You gotta pay for food, you know.
Gotta get credit.
And apparently droids and stuff. When Loa asks Osha when she joined the Jedi Order, Osha says that she joined when she was 8 years old and says that Fandar knows this already. Loa responds that there was a major concern about admitting her to the Jedi was her age, while Fandar adds that she had been mourning at the time of her recruitment. Which are both bad things, apparently. She's too old, and she's disgruntled because of a death or something. And Osha replies that the circumstances of her recruitment were unique, but that's the Jedi Council had made the decision to accept her. Fandar recalls that Osha had lost her entire family, including her mother, her sister, and the entire village in the fire before Master Sol had recruited her. Oh, so she knows Master Sol. Fandar says the attachments to loved ones are the most difficult to let go of. When Osha asks why they are here, Loa responds that a Jedi was murdered on Udia last night. And Fandar adds that the Jedi Master was Indira. Oh, she knows Indira too now, all of a sudden. Who would do that? Loa says the suspect matches Osha's description exactly. When Osha asks if they think she killed Indira, Loa asks where she was last night. Where were you? Osha says that she was on this freighter last night and asks why she would kill Indira. She's a friend, you know. Fandar responds that Master Indira had advised the Jedi Council to discontinue her training. Oh. So we find out that Indira made the decision that Mei was not going to be a good Jedi. Osha responds that leaving the Jedi Order was her hardest decision. And it was her decision, not Indira's. So basically she gave up, and that's why Indira told the council to let her go. Osha denies murdering Master Indira. Shortly, Loa brings in the barkeep and enters, and immediately he identifies Mei, says, "That's the girl. She's the one who killed the Jedi and shut up my bar." And Fandar says that this doesn't matter, that it doesn't matter what he thinks on the matter, because Osha is like, "I didn't do it." Says it doesn't matter what I think. The two Jedi escort her down the corridor where a burly red droid waits to escort her to the ship bound for Coruscant. And it was a scary droid too. I don't know. It was a cross between a couple of them that we've seen already. It was kind of weird. Osha tells Fandar and Loa that they are making a big mistake, and she enters the prison transport. The transport disengages from the Federation starship before jumping to hyperspace immediately. Yeah, that droid was weird. It was like a cross between a stormtrooper and a droid or something. It was kind of strange. Helmet was different than a stormtrooper, but still. And we go back to the Jedi Temple in Coruscant. Master Sol instructs a group of younglings about how to meditate. He says, you know, like, close your eyes because your eyes are deceiving you and you can't trust them. He says, listen to the ocean. And he tells them what comes into their mind and ask them what comes into their minds while they're thinking about the ocean. Just then, Master Ventra Ro enters the room, which I keep coming over this name. And oddly enough, in Star Trek, there's a character called Ro.
Yeah.
Which is a bad character at one point. She's nice for a while, but then she turns bad because she's disgruntled about something. She gets possessed by another alien or something.
I was looking at something earlier, and I guess that lady is supposed to be like 140 or 150 at this point in time.
Yeah.
So she's been around for a while.
Yeah, and I'm... Remind me to talk about her in my theories later on.
Okay.
We'll see. So the two younglings answer Ro or Saul that the force is balance and life. And another one, girls likens the balance to expanding fire. Ooh, that's different. Wait a minute. Saul responds that the force is like fire or an ocean. Sometimes something they must respect at all times. He dismisses the younglings for lunch before speaking to Master Ro, whom he addresses as an old friend. Ro describes Saul as a compassionate teacher and has memories of Saul as a small child. Ro informs Saul of the death of Master Indira and tells him that they have detained the former Padawan Osha Anishe as a suspect. Noticing Saul's shock and sadness, Ro remarks that she underestimated his attachment to Osha. Saul recalls that Osha was a devoted Padawan and sees no reason for her to kill Master Indira. Ro says that the evidence is against her and very strong. So we have a witness. You destroyed my bar.
It was her. I know it was her.
Saul responds that he and Indira saved Osha from the terrible fire on Brindock. And that she saw them as their protectors, not her enemies. Saul believes that there must be some mistake, and Ro and Saul agree to keep the matter secret since the political opponents could use it against them. If the news were to become public knowledge, which is suspicious to start with, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why couldn't it be something you say to the public? I don't get it.
What enemies?
Right. Mm. What enemies? Ro asks Saul if he will support pursuing justice for the murder of Indira in this matter. And Saul agrees, but sighs in private. He's like, okay, but aboard the prison ship, Osha speaks with her fellow inmates. One of her inmates has been restrained by a parasite known as Dibuke due to violent tendencies. Let's see what that information is about. So, Dibuke was a parasite species used by the Galactic Republic to subdue violent criminals in the High Republic era. It was said that the effects messed with the minds of the inmates, which we learned in the episode. She speaks to her two fellow inmates who ask her who actually killed the Jedi. They say, well, we're planning escape, and they ask May to join them. Osha asks where they are escaping to since they are traveling through hyperspace. Where are you going to go, man? Can't escape from a ship. It's weird. And the human inmates proposes overpowering the droids and escaping in the escape pods. Osha says that she has faith in the Jedi, prompting the alien to tell her to enjoy her prison. Because that's what the Jedi do. They just put you in prison. A third cyborg convict transmits a signal that causes the pilot droids to shut down. Oh, they didn't tell us about the cyborg shut down, bringing the prison ship out of hyperspace and into an asteroid field, where it begins to hit and throw the ship all over the place. Boom. A tentacled prisoner takes out the warden droid by beheading it with its tentacle. That takes a lot of strength to take someone's head off. With just twisting it, that's crazy. Several prisoners flee in an escape pod, but they abandon OSHA due to her unwillingness to take part in the escape attempt.
Yeah,
didn't give her much choice, did they?
No handouts.
Nothing for you. They didn't even unlock her cell, did they?
No. Asked for them to give her a hand, and they refused.
Yeah. The prison ship is left floating, abandoned in space, above a planet. OSHA uses the Force to retrieve her pip droid. Or did she? I think the ship just kind of tumbled around. I don't think she has the Force ability. Or knows that she has it. Something. The droid just basically tumbles back into her finger's reach. She uses pip to unlock the cell and then frees the paralyzed prisoner from his parasite diabute. The prisoner, however, flees in the escape pod, leaving OSHA behind by herself. And she screams in fury. Because that was the last escape pod. Ship descends to the planet's atmosphere, and she fastens herself into a seat and braces for impact. Yeah. The ship crashes into a frozen world of Parlek. What? Scott? Oh, Burr, it's nice and cold, right? And the ship breaks apart a little bit, so she's getting the cold air and everything blowing right into the ship. But we switch to Coruscant, and Padawan Jeki Lion informs Master Sol that Master Ro is requesting presence at the detainment level. Oh, in private, Lon asks Ro where that he keeps old holopics of it, why he keeps old holopics of his former Padawan OSHA, saying that it encourages sentimentality and nostalgia, which lead to attachment, which, you know, Jedi aren't supposed to have attachments. Sol responds that memories can serve as lessons, that if they don't meditate on the past, they're doomed to repeat their mistakes. Lessons learned, right? Lon returns to the, finishes the final sentence, because Sol has been teaching her that all along.
She's heard it.
She's heard it a thousand times, right? Man, you talk a lot, Sol. At the detainment level, the recaptured prisoner from the prison ship claims that the Jedi killer orchestrated the escape. It's not my fault. We didn't do it. The Jedi killer did it. Master Ro believes Sol about the situation. Ro speaks to one of the prisoners and asks him what happened to the young woman. Under the influence of Sol's mind tricks, the prisoner tells her that she escaped him, but he betrayed her and took the last escape pod. So he, clears out all the craziness.
With that the whole Force. Thing reminded me of like an Aliens. Remember the Aliens would like...
Yeah, get on top of your face.
Yep.
A little bit. But it was like a... It looked like a piece of skin almost. It was weird.
Yeah, but those things would like...
Yeah, they had the fingers.
Yeah.
More like that, I guess.
I don't know. Kind of just like went over.
I guess. Then they...
Yeah. Right. Then they egg or whatever.
Yeah, they took over your whole body and laid eggs in there. Last example. Ro responds that it still isn't clear OSHA did not kill Indira. When Sol asks if there was life signs on Karlik, Ro responds that the Republic has dispatched probe droids to survey the wreckage. But they haven't heard anything. Sol requests permission to go to Karlik and bring OSHA back with him. And Ro does not think that OSHA survived, but Sol insists as he means to take responsibility for his failure with OSHA. Meaning, you know, she was his Padawan and he failed. Ro permits Sol to assemble a small team, but tells him to be discreet, because we don't want our enemies to know, right? Jackie Lyon accompanies Master Sol for the manhunt, but is not keen about bringing Yord Fandar, because, you know, he takes all the attention away from everybody. He's an attention getter on the internet and everything.
Yord.
Yeah, Yord. The two walk into Fandar's quarters, where he is changing and flexing his abs, apparently. Sol tells them that they are leaving in 5 minutes, and Lorne tells Fandar to put on some clothes, please. I can't take it. You're too sexy. Put on some clothes. And the three depart from the Jedi temple on a starship. I think that's why everybody likes him, is because he's got all these abs. And it looked like he had like 8 or 9 of them or something. He had too many.
And like yeah. 12.
12, something. Meanwhile, Lon asks Sol about OSHA. Master Sol explains that he was stationed on OSHA's homeworld of Brindock 16 years ago when her sister May started a fire that killed her entire family. Huh. So her sister started the fire, and OSHA was the sole survivor, and he took her as his Padawan. Because he felt sorry for her, I guess. I don't know. Sol declares that May was OSHA's twin sister. And then he's like, what? What does that mean? I think, oh no. And Fandar is surprised to learn that OSHA has a twin. Lon notices that there's no mention of May in the Jedi files, as if May is the true killer. Huh? Sol believes that May is dead, having witnessed her supposed death. And he said supposed. So it's not confirmed yet. Supposed. With quotes. Where's that? Okay, quotes. Supposed death. The Jedi depart for Karlak in a smaller shuttle, which exits the larger Jedi shuttle, starship. OSHA sees the approaching Jedi ship and hides. Fandar and Lorne inspect the wreckage. She finds a cave to hide in. The former believes that nobody survived the landing of the Lorne, and Lorne disagrees. Sol thinks scavengers are at work and lead the group outside. OSHA flees through a network of tunnels that lead to the edge of a cliff, which reminds me of the tunnel that Luke Skywalker was meditating on when he was projecting himself. He had a little platform, but it looks kind of like that same area. Master Sol, OSHA pleads her innocence as they catch her at the end of the tunnel. She pleads her innocence and falls over the edge. She slips, her feet are unstable. And Sol uses his force ability. Boom. He says, OSHA! Boom. And she's suspended there. And he pulls her back up onto the cliff, whatever you want to call it.
The ledge.
Sol is relieved to see her again. When OSHA tells him that May is alive, Sol says he believes her but tells Osha that she needs to come with them. And they leave the cliff together. Dun, dun, dun.
So what's elsewhere. Since you know they were twins, is the little girl leading her? Is that an aberration or is that soul reaching? Is that a force reaching out from another party?
Well, it could be May reaching out through the force. But I mean, we're to believe that Osha doesn't really have that much force ability. So, I don't think from what I see in this first episode and the second episode, she has almost no force abilities at all that she knows of. She supposedly was trained as a Jedi, but she just doesn't remember how to use them anymore or doesn't want to. Luke Skywalker turned off his connection to the Force for a long time because he didn't want to be detected. He didn't want anything to do with it because, you know, Kylo Ren ruined his world. Kylo Ren, whatever. So let's get through this last part, which is a very small bit left. Elsewhere, May walks along the rocky shore as a male voice talks about the Jedi leaving in a dream, which they believe everyone shares. He says that those who attack the Jedi with weapons fail, since steel and lasers are no threat to them. He says that the Acolyte kills without a weapon, adding the weapon kills the dream. Adding that the Acolyte kills the dream, and May approaches the dark figure in the distance, who is wielding a red lightsaber.
Who is that?
Who is that exactly? We don't know. That's the whole thing, and that brings me back to my theories and stuff. So, any ideas, Rick? Who do you think that? We know he's got a mask because he talks muffled a little bit with a mask going on there. Well, so it's some
a mask too when he kind of turns on the profile, but. I don't know. I looked up a couple of things, and it's not people that I know that there's a lot of speculation on who this could be.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of books about this High Republic era. I don't know. There's probably 10 or 12 books. Most of them are written for teens, you know, the teen era group or whatever you want to call it,
mm-hmm.
Pre-teen era. But there's a lot of romance and whatever in them and stuff, but. There's a lot of lore in there too about, you know, the Sith and the Jedi and whatever. And, supposedly one of those guys is this Jedi master or Sith master. I don't know. Does it sound like it's a male's voice or is it, can you tell?
I mean, I think you're supposed to be led to believe that it's a guy. But I don't know. From the stuff that I saw, one of the connections was they think it's the guy who, like, trained Palpatine.
There's
a couple other people that they think it possibly could be. So I don't know. I mean, the
time. Did that guy have a mask? I had a mask.
Kind of throwing stuff off. Because, you know, you're talking roughly 130 years ahead. You know, 120 easily.
Yeah.
From what go, you know, with Palpatine and whatnot. So.
Yeah, and we see Palpatine as in Phantom Menace when he's fairly young.
Yeah.
You know, let's say 40s or something like that.
Yeah.
He might age to 60 or something by the end of by the time he gets killed or something. Supposedly killed.
I have no idea who that is. I think that's going to be the huge question is trying to figure out who this guy is and how that or this individual is and how they got to that position.
Yeah, so there's a lot of rumors online. And they say that one of the people that they think is a good possibility is one of the characters in episode 2. But I have a theory that this Roe person might be the Sith Lord, the green Ventura Roe, which it's a weird, out of the blue kind of theory, but, I think they're trying to be, obfuscation by, you know,
what?
Hiding in public, and you just don't know. It's obvious once you find out, but once you find out, you don't know. You didn't even realize. That's kind of what I think they're trying to do, and I think that a character that we've seen, maybe in episode 2, is the Sith Lord. We just don't see them. So, like I said, the credits were rolling there. We're done with our episode. Yay. And we want your feedback. We've given you some of our ideas, and we'll give you a few more here in a minute. We want you to send yours in at feedback@kylejohansson.us. Go to our website. There's a feedback button there you can click and go look at feedback. There's also a link there for social media, which we're on Twitter/X @super_duper_pod. We're on Blue Sky at Rebel Alliance Briefing Room. And we're on YouTube, where you can leave comments for both audio and video up there. And I have seen quite a bit of talk about this on Blue Sky as well. Most of those things I sent you guys about Yord and stuff came from Twitter, but I think it all started on Blue Sky to begin with. If people don't know, there's a meme out there now where there's Chef Boy Yord RD, and there's Yorda in replacing Yoda, all those things. Everybody's fascinated by Yord. They call themselves the Yord Horde. No. Any other comments, Scott, about this episode? Where what we first seen, and suddenly on the first episode, we kill one of the main characters.
Huh?
One of your favorite people too, Carrie Ann Moss. She's one of your favorite people, isn't she, Scott?
Huh?
And they killed her right away.
Yeah.
That's not good.
She probably had other obligations anyway.
Yeah, she's got to go for Matrix number 5. That's why she had so many references to the Matrix in her character. Stuff like that. But she's looking kind of rough, though. And she's aged well, but she's looking a little rough.
You know,
it was a little disappointment. She was there and gone. I was hoping for a couple episodes.
It was like the very first scene, right?
Yeah, she didn't make 10 minutes.
Crazy. But, yeah.
She probably made more money than all of us combined together in our lifetimes for that 10 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. A totally not Star Wars thing, but I don't know. You guys probably heard that Pat Sajak is quitting Wheel of Fortune, right? So this week is his last week. His last episode airs. I think it aired on Wednesday or Thursday. Friday, whatever. You know, Amy was commenting to me about how, you know, why he left and why Vanna's still there and all that stuff. And I was like, well, I know Vanna's there because she's like making like 10 or 15 million an episode. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if that's true because they do a lot of episodes, but she's making like a ton of money off of every episode because she quit and then she came back and she says, I'm not coming back unless you pay me. And she's making a ton of money. And I wouldn't quit if I was making that much money. But that's kind of what Indira was. You know, they probably paid her like $5 million to be on there for 10 minutes worth of show.
And who knows what other things that they filmed that maybe, because we know there's going to be some more to the backstory of May and Osha. And so there's probably going to be clips that she shows up in later too. So,
yep.
Hey, side note of this too. Never mind. That's the next episode. Forget it. I was ahead of myself.
Well,
I was famous characters. No, I'll wait.
All right. Well, let's wrap this up again since we're at an impasse, and we'll just go to the next episode.
Thank you for listening to the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room podcast. Please visit our website where you can play current and past episodes. That's https://rabrkylejohansson.us. That's RABR.
Down there.
KAILEJOHANSEN.US. On the left-hand side is a navigation menu. You can use this to learn how to load the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room podcast on your Android or Apple phone and tablet. And we have direct links to our podcast on Apple and Google Podcast. Please participate by connecting to our social media, answering questions of the week, or submitting feedback directly from the site. Again, all of these are available at the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room website at rabr.kailejohansen.us. This podcast in no way is approved, sponsored, or owned by Lucasfilms Ltd., Disney, Disney Plus, or any of its subsidiaries. All opinions are solely owned by Kyle and or Scott, and in no way express the views or opinions of their past or present employers. Views and opinions are not supported or restricted by Lucasfilms, Ltd., Disney, Disney Plus, or any of its subsidiaries. Any rebroadcast, reproduction, or other use of this podcast and its affiliate sites without consent of Super Duper Podcast Network and its host is prohibited. I am Kyle John Johansson, and this is Andrew Scott Sutton. Say goodbye now.
And Rick, we still need to remake that. Maybe I'll do that today.
Man, what have you been doing all week?
Not had time to remake that, that's for sure.
That's too far. That's too close. It's too big. It's too big. Yeah. I can't see it.
Okay, whatever. It's scaring me. Whatever. If you look up there, there's an address up there too, but you gotta zoom in really good to see it. It's that black piece right there.
That's what she said.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for joining us. We'll see you at the next episode. Bye-bye.
Au revoir.
And we're pausing. Pausing. Look, I'm showing you others.